Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said too many people have Teflon minds. Nothing seems to stick. Once again, it's a privilege to be able to come your way and to talk with you about the Word of God. We do appreciate our loyal listeners, but we appreciate anyone listening to what we have to say about the Word of God. It's not what we have to say, but really what's important is what did God say. All right, we get back now to our study. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 22, Paul asked the question, "Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy?" Look at the conduct of man through the history of mankind, and look at the number of times that man has done things that deliberately provoke the one who is our Creator, our Maker. What a shame that we cannot understand how important it is for us to show love and respect for the one who's responsible for us. I'm not surprised when an infidel curses and uses the name of God in a vain way. But it does surprise me when some who claim to be children of God do the same thing. Why would a child of God disrespectfully speak of the one in heaven using his name as a byword? Obviously, something's wrong somewhere. And so we believe there are a number of things by conduct that people do that show very obviously that they are not trying to please God. One thing that we have noted thus far is when a person continues in sin after having redemption from the sins of the past. We are burdened down with our problem of sin. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. In fact, in description of man's sin, we run into this statement in Romans 3 and verse 10. There is none righteous in all of the earth. All of us then have been touched by the subject of sin. As soon as we're old enough to understand the difference in right and wrong, we do the wrong thing, and so we sin. Now, if we continue in that sin, look at the consequence of it. We're separated from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, and we cannot go to heaven, John chapter 8, 21 and 24. Further, we receive the wages or the pay of sin, Romans 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life by our Lord Jesus Christ. Could you imagine man viewing the death of Christ because an innocent man is dying to bring redemption to the human family, and man guilty of sin standing by, looking at this, and then deciding to turn back into sin instead of to use the sacrifice that has been made in his regard? Friends, when a person tells me, "I love Jesus, and I love what he did for me, and I love the redemption that is found in Jesus Christ," why, I'm glad to hear that. But do you know there's a life that follows that? The life that we live must be a life which reflects the fact that we appreciate what has been done for us. Imagine a person who says, "I have been freed from my sins, and I just want to stay out of them long enough to soothe my conscience, but I'm going right back into a life of sin." Wouldn't that be a shame? Isn't it amazing that we have people in the world who are doing that very thing? We are freed from our sins when we die to sin, when we're buried by baptism, and we rise to walk in a new kind of life. But for us to turn back and to once again live that life of sin would be provoking to God, wouldn't it? Think about it. How does God feel about it when he sends his Son to die for us because we could not do anything for ourselves. And we look at what Christ did for us and turn our back on it and decide we're going to still live in sin. Provoking God? Yes, we do that. The Lord willing, we'll continue our study next week along this line. Please be listening. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.